Welcome to the Healthy Compulsive Project podcast, where you can take a deep dive to explore the pitfalls and potential of the obsessive compulsive personality, offering hope and help for perfectionists, workaholics, micromanagers, type A personality, and control freaks. Hello, everyone. This is Gary Trosclair, psychotherapist, Jungian analyst, and author of the Healthy Compulsive Project book, blog, and podcast. Today's episode is about psychotherapy for obsessive compulsive personality. There are two parts. The first part is about the different kinds of therapy for OCP, and the second part is about how therapy actually works, what goes on in the room, with plenty of short examples to demonstrate. In the original written blog, there are lots of links to the research. So if you're curious about the science behind what I'm saying, go to www.thehealthycompulsive.com where you can find out more. While obsessive-compulsive personality disorder is probably the most frequently occurring personality disorder, there's very little research regarding treatment. But we do have related studies that point the way to what type of therapy might be most effective for you and what you need to do on your end to make it more effective. In the end, your choice of type of therapy is a matter of what feels best for you and what your goals are. This is episode 35 of the Healthy Compulsive Project podcast, Psychotherapy for the Obsessive Compulsive Personality. Part 1. What is the best psychotherapy for obsessive compulsive personality? If you're trying to research the best psychotherapy for OCPD and compulsive traits, you probably won't find much. There are very few studies which investigate treatment design specifically for it. As a result, there's a fair amount of misunderstanding out there that I'd like to try to rectify. The two basic types of therapy. To simplify, we can divide therapy into two very broad categories: cognitive and behavioral therapies on the one hand, and dynamic and expressive therapies on the other. Cognitive and behavioral therapies, such as CBT, are more structured and directed more by the therapist. They aim to relieve specific symptoms by challenging thought patterns and prescribing gradual behavioral change. Dynamic and expressive therapies, such as psychodynamic therapy and psychoanalytic therapies, are more free-flowing and self-directed. These aim to achieve broader and deeper changes in the personality by developing a greater awareness of unconscious influences. They also develop insight into patterns of coping that developed as a result of early family and environmental issues. One type of cognitive behavioral therapy designed for OCPD and related disorders is radically open dialectical behavior therapy, also known as RODBT. The intent of RODBT is to help reduce over-control and to improve communication. There are a limited number of practitioners trained in RODBT, and the process is highly structured, which some might find relieving and others find uncomfortable. Another type of therapy which may be helpful for people with OCPD is schema therapy. This approach includes both CBT and dynamic elements. While not designed specifically for OCPD, it may be effective for people with OCPD in part because at least one of its basic 11 schemas, known as life traps, apply directly. This schema is used throughout one's life and is called, "It's never quite good enough." The reality is that there is often overlap between how CBT and dynamic therapy are actually practiced, but most therapists tend to identify with one type more than the other. Before I go any further, a disclaimer. I make my living practicing dynamic psychotherapy. I cannot rule out bias on my part, but I'll try to lay out the possibilities objectively and show the research behind what I have to say. Are all therapies created equal? The research. There's some data which indicates that all legitimate forms of psychotherapy are equally effective. While clinicians and researchers argue about just how equal they really are, all bona fide forms do seem to help more than no therapy at all. Still, during their rotations, most medical students get it pounded into their heads that cognitive and behavioral therapies are more effective, and the news spreads that these are the only treatments worth using. But, to be accurate, there is just more evidence that they're more effective, not evidence that they are more effective. These are very different claims, but they've been conflated. Cognitive and behavioral therapies do have more research to support their efficacy for certain specific conditions. They tend to be shorter term, target specific symptoms, and are manualized, meaning the therapist follows a protocol laid out in a manual. These characteristics make cognitive and behavioral therapies easier and less expensive to research, which is one of the reasons that there is more research showing that they're effective. Clearly, many people benefit from these therapies. Evidence, dropouts, and fit. But more recent studies have not demonstrated the rates of success for cognitive therapy that earlier studies suggested, nor have they demonstrated superiority over other types of therapy. And according to at least one study, on average, 42% of the subjects in trials for cognitive and behavioral therapies drop out. So a lot of people don't feel comfortable enough with them to stick it out. So if cognitive therapy doesn't feel like a good fit, you're not alone. I'm not recommending that you give up on your CBT therapist. In fact, I'd suggest you tell your therapist if the therapy isn't feeling right so that the two of you can work it out. Barring that, other forms of therapy may feel like a better fit for you. While there aren't as many studies that support the efficacy of dynamic and expressive therapies, there is still plenty of research out there that does support them, as Jonathan Shedler at the University of Colorado Denver School of Medicine points out. In fact, in a study comparing the long-term effects of the two types of therapy for depression, psychoanalytic therapy shows significantly longer-lasting effects compared to cognitive behavior therapy 3 years after termination of treatment. Dynamic therapies are usually the treatment of choice for personality disorders, and there is good reason to believe that they might be the better treatments for obsessive-compulsive personality disorder in particular. Just a short note, not everyone who is compulsive is disordered. There's a spectrum from healthy to unhealthy compulsivity, and most of us can benefit from therapy to make sure our tendencies don't go awry. Best psychotherapy for OCPD, matching therapy to your goals. Since both kinds of therapy are effective to some degree, these days researchers are trying to predict which therapies will work best for which people and which conditions. For instance, if you want to remove the symptoms of OCD, that's different from OCPD, or bulimia, panic attacks, or a specific phobia, cognitive and behavioral therapies can be quite effective. Note that treatments for compulsive personality, OCPD, and OCD are usually not the same, as they're really different conditions, though sometimes they're overlapping. But if your goals are broader than the reduction of specific symptoms, if you'd like to shape deeper personality traits, dynamic therapies may be more helpful. Here's how Jonathan Shedler described the wider-ranging goals of dynamic therapy, and this is a somewhat longish paragraph, but I think it's worth reading. And here I'm quoting, "The goals of psychodynamic therapy include, but extend beyond, symptom remission. Successful treatment should not only relieve symptoms, that is, to get rid of something, but also foster the positive presence of psychological capacities and resources. Depending upon the person and the circumstances, these might include the capacity to have more fulfilling relationships, make more effective use of one's talents and abilities, maintain a realistically based sense of self-esteem, tolerate a wider range of affect, have more satisfying sexual experiences, understand self and others in more nuanced and sophisticated ways, and face life's challenges with greater freedom and flexibility. Such ends are pursued through a process of self-reflection, self-exploration, and self-discovery that takes place in the context of a safe and deeply authentic relationship between therapist and patient." End of quote. An additional dimension. For me, one of the most important aspects of working with people who are compulsive is understanding the deeper motivations for compulsive behavior rather than pathologizing them. People who are compulsive have urges that they feel compelled to act on, and these urges aren't all bad. Much of the creative and productive work done in the world is done by people who have compulsive personalities. Only when our urges get hijacked by shame and insecurity do they become unhealthy. Finding the deeper wellsprings of these urges is the core goal of Jungian analysis, a specific form of dynamic treatment that looks for the purpose and meaning behind symptoms. It is a growth-oriented therapy developed in the early 20th century by Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung. It sees the unconscious as a source of wisdom and creativity and spirituality in the broadest sense, rather than a storehouse for repressed memories. Jung suggested that we have a compulsive urge to realize our potential or to individuate. Recognizing and utilizing this instinct can be a powerful motivation for change. Part of what I find most attractive and helpful about Jungian analysis is its more positive attitude towards our symptoms. And I believe that it is particularly helpful for people who are obsessive-compulsive because it insists that we seek the meaning inherent in our challenges. As I've written elsewhere, obsessive-compulsive disorder is a disorder of priorities, meaning that has been lost. Analyzing therapy. Ultimately, your choice will be based on what feels like a good fit for you personally and whether your goal is specific symptom remediation or broader personality growth. But whatever form of treatment you pursue, I hope that you'll think of it as developing and harnessing your potential rather than remediation for bad behavior. That's a good start. To get a more detailed picture of what dynamic therapy is about, and to get a sense of the patient's role in psychotherapy, you can take a look at my first book, I'm Working on It in Therapy, How to Get the Most Out of Psychotherapy. Part 2, Therapy for OCPD, How Treatment Actually Works. Let's imagine that you decide to go to therapy for OCPD, that is, obsessive-compulsive personality disorder, to deal with your workaholic tendencies, need to control, and utter uncontrollable frustration with people who are messy and don't follow the rules. What needs to happen for it to be helpful? First, I'll speak about what a therapist can do to help that you can't do for yourself. Then we'll talk about what you'll need to do on your end to make your time in therapy effective. Then I'll give a short example demonstrating how the interaction between the two of you can help. First of all, your therapist's role in treatment for OCPD. I'm going to give 5 different tools that your therapist will be using with 1 or 2 examples for each of them. These tools are by no means exhaustive. I just wanted to give you a taste or a flavor for what goes on in session. Number 1, your therapist will help you to explore feelings you usually avoid. They will slow you down and ask you to experience those feelings long enough to see what you need to learn from them. For example, did you notice that you just said you were afraid no one at work likes you, and then you rushed into what you need to do to get that project done? It seems you are avoiding feeling something. What was going on? What's that fear about? And how do you usually cope with it? Getting stuff done? The second tool. Your therapist will help you to see patterns of thinking, feeling, and behavior that you don't notice because you can't be objective about them yourself. So, for example, have you noticed that everything you've said so far in this session is about planning the future? What's going on inside right now, in this moment, as you speak with me? Another example. I've noticed that every time you accomplish something, you feel it's not good enough, and you rush into a new project to get away from that feeling. And a third example. I know that you care about your sister, but the way you talk to her about what she's doing wrong probably doesn't leave her feeling that you care. Here's a third tool your therapist would be using. Your therapist will help you see patterns that you don't notice because you simply haven't had the training to recognize them. So, for example, I suspect that the way you learn to connect with people when you're young affects how you use the passion and skills that you're naturally born with. If you don't feel you have a secure connection with people, you might enlist your natural meticulousness to prove that you're worthy of respect, but you do it in a way that actually pushes people away. And here's a fourth tool. Your therapist will model an attitude of patience and realistic acceptance and help you to find ways to break your patterns. For example, yes, it's true that you made a mistake. Welcome to the human race. If you're perfectionistic and tell yourself that you're a loser just because you overreacted, it's not going to help anyone. Let's try to understand what happened rather than get into blaming yourself or other people. Next time you're about to overreact, pause. See what you're feeling and remember what's really important to you. You might not be able to do this all the time at first, but with our discussions and practice, you'll get better at it. And a fifth tool your therapist might use. Your therapist will challenge you to think about what's most important to you. For example, I know that you want things to be good at home, but what do you really want to happen as a result of criticizing your husband? Do you want to prove you're right? Or to have a family where people are safe, thrive, and enjoy being together? And as another example, what did you want to happen by reaching partner at your firm? Now that you're there, you're still working like a newbie junior associate. I think you've forgotten what your real goals in life are. Now let's talk about your role in therapy for OCPD. Again, I'm going to give some tools with examples. Try to allow yourself to feel a full range of emotions, including the layer of emotions beneath anger. You may not be used to this. Say what you feel, not what you think. Emotions serve as a lubricant for a brain that has gotten rusty and rigid. For example, I just realized that I might seem really angry about what's going on, but now that I'm sitting with it, I realize I'm actually really sad that there's nothing I can do about it. I think I've been trying to get away from that feeling my whole life. Here's another tool. Look for your own responsibility, what's within your control, and don't focus on others. For example, he really was being a jerk, but I didn't have to respond the way I did. I think I was afraid of being blamed and I overreacted. I really like being right, but I'm starting to wonder if it's worth living that way. And a third tool, figure out why you've come to use work or control as a strategy to cope with difficulties. For example, I remember when my parents said they were getting divorced. I figured it was my fault. I had always been a little perfectionistic, but when that happened, I got really controlling in a bad way. They ended up staying together, but I've never stopped being that way. Here's the fourth tool. Use the everyday events of your life to identify your patterns, such as judging, rushing, controlling, or overworking. Connect the dots of the things you get caught in most often. Don't waste time on behavior that's just a one-off. For example, I was in line at the checkout and someone was fumbling with their credit card. I wanted to give them grief for taking so long. Then I realized that there really was no reason for me to be in such a hurry. I recognized I always feel urgency, whether there's a need to or not. I push myself and other people out of habit. And a fifth tool for you to make the best use of your time in therapy. Identify what's at the root of your compulsive style, what's really important to you that you want so badly to accomplish. For example, I noticed how I worked long hours so that we'll have enough money for our daughter to get tutoring and go to a good college, and I get upset with her when she doesn't get all A's. But what I really want is to make a home where she feels loved and she feels she can pursue what's fulfilling to her. I've put the cart before the horse. All together now. This separation of therapist and client roles is somewhat misleading. A major determining factor in therapy is how well the two of you work together, how much real interaction there is between you. For people who are compulsive, this offers an opportunity to learn about how they react to people and how they come across to other people. For example, I ran all the way here. I hate to be late. I thought you'd be angry at me for not taking this seriously. Actually, I'm not angry at you at all, and the last thing I'd think about you is that you're not taking this seriously. Do you imagine that with other people too? I suspect that what you imagine people think about you is very different from what they really do. Is it possible that you actually appear to be so serious and preoccupied with getting everything right that people might see you as indifferent to them? What's harder to put into words about how therapy works is the experience that regular meetings with your therapist fosters. This is not just an intellectual exercise designed to make you behave more reasonably. A consistent and accepting exploration of your feelings cultivates not only awareness, but also increased comfort with who you are as you are, while still leaving room for growth. Be patient and persist. You've been living compulsively for a long time. Don't expect it to change immediately. If you're consistent in your attendance and you use your natural determination to work on yourself, your patterns will change sooner. You can find transcripts of this podcast with links to research sources and lots more at the Healthy Compulsive blog, www.thehealthycompulsive.com. If you'd like to subscribe to the Healthy Compulsive podcast, hit that subscribe button. And for a thorough guide to cultivating the positive potential of the compulsive personality, find my book on Amazon, The Healthy Compulsive, Healing Obsessive Compulsive Personality Disorder and Taking the Wheel of the Driven Personality. And if you find any of these helpful, let others know by leaving a review. Till next time, enjoy the drive.